Welcome to the next step. The next step is figuratively, but also literally in this case, what happens after the first time. It's about figuring out what to do next in life, specifically how to manage the push-pull between ambition and contentment. Like, what do you have to do to achieve the things you want, and how can you be happy if you achieve nothing? Sometimes I wonder, would I be better off spending my time setting goals and making lists or meditating? Perhaps I should do a vision board. How do people make money and grow successful multi-million dollar businesses? Like, what are the actual steps? And are ice baths the answer to everything? I'm Catherine Collette, and this is The Next Step. This podcast was recorded and produced on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri and Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures. This episode is on manifestation. It is a bit woo-woo. I use the words woo-woo quite a lot in this episode, but it's probably less woo-woo than you might expect. Longer time listeners of the First Time podcast might remember me mentioning To Be Magnetic last season. To Be Magnetic, the acronym is TBM, describes itself as the modern guide to manifestation. It's a thing I fell deep into the rabbit hole of last year, and I know some other people did too. I think it's super interesting, and I'm very excited and very grateful to get to talk to a person who knows all about it. Jessica Gill is the Chief Content Officer at To Be Magnetic. She's co-host of TBM's podcast Expanded. I will link to Expanded in show notes. It's a very popular podcast. I think it has something in the order of 27 million downloads. But I did want to say at the outset, and we do touch on some of the critiques of manifestation in this episode, if you have significant trauma, manifestation is not going to be a replacement for therapy. This is very much intended as entertainment. And on that note, I hope you find it entertaining. Jessica, this episode is really focused around manifestation, what it isn't, how to do it. There's a heap I want to talk about, including what some of the common critiques of manifestation are. But maybe as a starting point, how, when, where, what were you doing when you first heard about the idea of manifestation?
Oh, man. So I think I moved to Los Angeles from New York. I'm an East Coaster originally. And I started hearing about getting into the vortex. And I was like, what the heck is the vortex? And they're like, that's the sphere at which you are your like true soul, authentic self, and things just magnetize to you. And I was like, okay, that sounds a little woo-woo. Like, I want to learn more. I started reading more things. And then I would have these life experiences where things just happened so kismetly. I was like, okay, maybe that's what they're talking about. Maybe that's the vortex. And I watched The Secret documentary and learned about the law of attraction. I was like interested and I would see things happen, but I wasn't like, here's the step-by-step model. And then I worked in film and television at the time and I wanted to make a career pivot, basically using all my production skills, but like for something that I could more tangibly reach an audience sooner. With television, it takes so long to get your stories approved and then budget and then shooting and editing. And it was just so long before it was like reaching anyone. I was like, there's got to be a better and faster way to tell stories that like hit the heart, which is what I was in film and television to do to begin with. And I wound up finding Lacey Phillips, who's the founder of To Be Magnetic. And she really put manifestation in a way that made so much sense to me, that you are not manifesting from your conscious thoughts. There's not some magical portal you have to get into. You don't have to be positive all the time. It's really your subconscious belief system and blueprint is running the show. And I was like, okay, like, tell me more about that. And one thing that really opened my eyes to it was, she was like, okay, let me tell you why your blueprint's running the show. Think about what your parents did for career growing up. What did you witness them doing? How was their interaction with work? How did they value work? Like, what did they do for a job? And how does that relate to your beliefs about your career now? And so I thought about my dad, who was like a super workaholic, very blue collar, like moved up step rung by rung in his industry. But it was all because of the hard work he did. He like labored. He was there all the time, like putting in the time and dedication. And then I looked at my career in film and television, and I started as an intern and moved up to assistant and casting director and casting associate and blah, blah, all these job titles, like almost the same trajectory, different paths, but that same mentality of like grit and bear it, hours in, hours in. And it was like, okay, does that feel authentic to you? And I was like, no, I want more ease. I want more nuance. I want to like jump from different careers and do different things and have my hand in a couple different pots, you know, so to speak. And I was like, whoa, that system of this is how you have a career is so imprinted in me that it's creating my reality by the actions I take, what I think I need to be doing. And so that kind of blew the lid off it for me. And I signed up for all of her programs and kind of dove in head first and eventually manifested working with them and for them and running their podcasts and taking my film and television and production talents and skills to the brand.
So interesting. I will just briefly mention for listeners, To Be Magnetic, the acronym is TBM. So I'm sure you will hear that a couple of times in this discussion. It's interesting you talk about things like the secret. It is something that is mentioned on the podcast, these kind of old vortex-y, think super positive ways of manifesting. I think the specifics of the manifestation approach within TBM will surprise people a little bit, because manifestation has this very woo-woo reputation. Maybe that's what makes it appealing to some people, makes it less appealing to others. I really want to talk through some of the actual steps that are involved, and in particular this kind of subconscious work, because I think it makes intuitively a lot of sense. So I'm going to approach it in the order that it's laid out in the manifestation challenge that you guys did recently, and you run it twice a year. One of the initial things that you get people to do is to understand their values and their authentic self. And then they create a list of things they want to manifest. Why is the values exercise so important, do you think?
So I think one of the reasons that that became so vital to put in there is that manifestation can work, right? You see people all the time manifest, let's say, a lot of money, but then they have a lot of money and they're not happy. They're in a career that they don't love. Or we have this case all the time where we have a lot of corporate lawyers who are like, I did all the things. I manifested this lawyer career, but I'm miserable. Like, what am I doing here? And it was like grunt and bear it to try to get there, right? And so if we can kind of flip it on its head and start with, who are you authentically? Why are you why is your soul on this planet? Like, what are you here to do? What's your purpose? What lights you up? What brings you joy? Because the closer that you can connect with that, you can get rid of the things that are coming from ego, and you can get very, very crystal clear of what you want out of life from that place. And when you manifest with that in the forefront, you don't land in your manifestation and feel miserable. You land and feel fulfilled. You feel like in the next step of your evolution of what you want out of life. And actually, it gives you more motivation to go after your manifestations because you are doing it from that aligned place. One of the things Lacey noticed in her practice, and she had a private practice with tons of clients for years and years before even launching workshops and moving and expanding the company, but she would find that people that got into alignment with who they were truly authentically accepted themselves, had compassion for themselves, had high self-worth, they were able to manifest faster than anyone else. So when you can get clarity on who you are authentically, what you love, and be unrelenting with that, be unforgiving, like unapologetic with that part of you, that builds your self-trust, self-worth, self-resilience, and allows you to go into the world and make decisions from that place.
I think it's such a good exercise. I guess an example of how it might look would be, say, wanting to be in the film industry for fame would be an ego-based version of wanting to do something that is an expression of creativity. That would sort of be the distinction between those two things.
For sure. And you can have things that, a lot of times when people are writing manifestation lists, they might initially be doing that because they're looking to support their sense of safety and security. Like, it's something we all strive for, right? So financial freedom might be one of your values if you feel like you're not in a financially free spot. So the philosophy is, okay, great. If you don't feel like you're in a safe and secure place with that, go out and get it. Grab that material thing, get to that baseline, and then peel back the layers again and say, okay, now that I'm here, now what do I want? What is the next layer of my authenticity? What is the next layer of my evolution?
The creation of the manifestation list is obviously super fun. You guys actually recommend creating two lists in a way, one very short list of 1 to 2 big things that are achievable in 6 months. And I think that line about are achievable in 6 months is a really important one, and distinguishes it from things like The Secret and other types of manifestation where things are so big and so far in the future. You also talk about creating a list of smaller things. Why is the list of smaller things important?
I almost feel like the list of smaller things, especially for someone who's just starting out, who doesn't have sort of like that trust and understanding of a manifestation process, is going to be almost more vital than the bigger things they're calling in. When you can call on those little things and see, okay, when I do X, Y, Z, this comes through. You start to witness your patterns. You start to witness, it's really a stepping through fear. At the root of manifestation, it is your self-worth has to be in alignment with whatever you're calling in. So if your self-worth around, I don't know, manifesting a free cup of coffee, you're like, I don't deserve that. No one would ever buy me coffee. You're going to not even be open to the opportunities of that coming. But if you're like, I'm going to get curious, put this on my list, see how this works. Maybe the day before the free coffee, you did something where you advocated for yourself, you put yourself out there, or you talk to somebody in line at the coffee shop, right? That is starting to peel back some of that fear and starting to unblock, which is one of the parts of the process. So then when that free cup of coffee comes in, you're like, wait a second. When I step out of my comfort zone through fear, talk to the person in line, then the manifestations come through with ease. And look, that person in line bought me a free coffee. So it's like these little things where you can start to witness, wow, when I do this, this is my unique pattern with it. This is the fear that I need to continue to step through in order to increase my self-worth.
Mm. The smaller list can feel, when things do manifest, it feels very magical or something. It's kind of a funny word for it. So you create some value, you think about values, you create this list. Then, and I think this is the point at which it gets very interesting, there are three sort of focus areas: expanders, unblocking, aligned action. I want to talk through each of these one by one. We'll start with expanders. What is an expander and how does the idea of expanders work?
So expanders, so all three of these parts, the expanding, the unblocking, the aligned action, have to be taking place simultaneously, right? Like, they're all the pieces of the puzzle that are help priming your subconscious to increase your self-worth. So with expanders in specific, it was a term that Lacey coined about people who show you what is possible for you. So one of the easiest ways to identify an expander is there anyone you've ever been envious of, where you've said, oh, I can't believe that person is so confident out there wearing that outfit. Like, how could they do that? They're actually showing you a part of you that you are hiding in your shadow. So they're showing you that you can be confident. Maybe you don't want to wear the same outfit as them, but they're exuding something that you're denying in yourself. They're showing you it actually is possible for you to have that confidence as well. Another spot you can see expanders is, you know, if you look on social media and you're like, gosh, I love that person's life, or I didn't know you could have a job that works, you know, fully remote like that. I want to do that too. They are showing your subconscious, it is possible for me to do, because they are in my orbit, because I see them, because I connect with them, something about them draws me to them. It is opening up the window of believability that if they can do it, you can do it too.
It's something I see a lot in writing. Often you'll have a writer's group. Mm-hmm. No one will be published for ages, and then one person will get published and suddenly everybody will start to get published. It's like, and I know I've experienced this myself, when you know someone who, you know, you were in the same boat and suddenly they take a step up into a bigger boat, or, you know, something exciting happens that you also want, it does really become possible.
It's a huge ripple effect. And I think it's also interesting too, when people are manifesting specific things, like one question we ask people all the time is like, who are the 5 to 10 people you surround yourself with the most? And what is their relationship to that thing? So if you're thinking about the writer circle, you could have the most brilliant writers in the world around you, but if they don't have the type of writing career that you want, if they're not getting published or traction the way that you want, it's not saying that you have to ditch your writers group, but it's maybe saying, how can I go interact with some writers that are at the level I want to be at? So I can see, oh, that's just a human just like me. I could do that.
And where do you find expanders if they're not already in your life?
Oh my gosh, everywhere. I mean, we're really lucky to be in an age of social media where you can listen to them in podcasts, watch them on YouTube, find them on social media, DM strangers. I mean, the amount of times people have randomly DM me and like, you're such an expander in podcasting or an expander in this. I've written to people, and even if they don't understand the term expander, I'm like, I really love that you do this in your career. It's incredible. You know, just finding those people that really inspire you. And I think, I don't know, maybe it's because of social media. I feel like people are a little bit more shy to give that compliment or have that exchange with a stranger, but that's actually where you're going to network, meet new people, have new experiences, and have that interaction. Even if you don't sit down for coffee with an expander, just having a quick conversation or a DM exchange can just open up the believability in your mind. Like, whoa, this person talked to me. Like, that was a real exchange that happened in real life. You can hold on to it as a material moment. And I think that does such huge things for your subconscious.
I love that. The second on that list after expanders is unblocking. And as you said, they kind of all happen simultaneously. What is unblocking?
Okay, so this is one of my favorite parts. The way I like to describe it is your brain is like a sponge. And so from the ages 0 to 14, your brain is fully developing up to about 26. You are absorbing, watching, taking in every little interaction and moment you have around you as basically your map of like, this is what I need to do in the world for love, safety, belonging, connection. Like, this is who I should be. This is who I should not be. And oftentimes that map that you're shown from your family, your peers, your friends, your teachers, society is not in alignment with who you authentically are. A lot of it may be shame, pain, programming, hardships. And so we kind of create this shell where we're like, okay, well, that was really hard. So I'm going to push these things away and I won't be lovable if I do this. So I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to change my personality to that. And the whole point of manifestation and the intention of the universe and what you're connecting with is to peel back those layers and get into your truly authentic self, who you were when you came onto the planet before you experienced any of the pain, shame, or programming. So when you're unblocking, you get to take a peek in your subconscious, take inventory through journal prompts. We have a hypnotic audio where you can kind of go in and you're guided through a meditation to explore different elements. But you really go in and say, what is my blueprint? What was I taught around this job opportunity or this role? Or if I'm allowed to act like this, or if I can truly be loved if I'm that, and see what is blocking you? What is in the way? What are the fears? What are the unprocessed emotions around an experience that maybe you need to comfort your inner child or explore your shadow or pick apart these pieces? Because those are the things that we call them blocks, are standing in the way of your manifestation. It's almost like you learned that if you pursued your art career, that you weren't going to make money, but you authentically love art and you want to make money doing that career. But because you didn't have anyone around you who did art making money, because you learned that you couldn't be successful doing it, there is something in your subconscious that even though your conscious mind is like, I want it, I want it, I want it, subconsciously, there's like a pushback in your mind that translates into the actions that you're taking, into the energy you're putting out into things. And until you can go down and go to that part and be like, hey, you're safe, you're good. we're going to pursue this. This is authentic to us. And no, we didn't see it, but now we have all these expanders to show us it's possible. This is the path we're going to move forward from. And it's stepping through that fear to overwrite those old limiting beliefs and circuitry that's happening in the brain, if you want to get into the neuroscience of it all, to write those empowering high self-worth beliefs.
We'll come back to the neuroscience. The final one on the list is aligned action. What is aligned action?
So aligned action is where your subconscious beliefs show up in the real world. This is how we navigate the world. This is how we navigate listening to our intuition, taking action on the things that will get us closer to our dream manifestation. It's the opportunities that present in front of us. One of the things we like to call them is tests. It's almost like a decision-making point where it's like, are you going to settle for the old thing that you used to settle for? That's your old life, the old stories, old limiting beliefs, or are you going to say no and step into this new version of self? And we're constantly having these opportunities or tests to make those decisions. And so when we take action from a place of I'm moving in the direction of self-love and self-worth, I'm going to choose things from this angle instead of falling back into those old patterns. So aligned action is just any action we're taking in the real world, whether that's passing those tests or listening to the little whispers we have of like, this isn't the job for us anymore. We need to get out and find something that lights us up more. Like that deciding like, wow, I'm going to listen to that. I don't know what that means. I don't know what the best next step is, but I'm going to listen and start to follow those threads and those pulls.
There are some great episodes on your podcast that talk about this idea of tests in the romantic sphere. And so people looking for love, looking for a partner, and having someone who nearly meets all of their kind of dream list or all of the things that they want, but doesn't quite, and how that person can present as a test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think especially in relationships, it's really interesting because, you know, what are relationships mean to us truly on a deep level? It's a sense of security. It's a sense of connection. We're wired for connection. We want to be connected beings. That's really important to us. And so not having that partner, it's so easy why someone might be like, okay, like they're got the good job. They, you know, have everything going great in their life. They're really nice, but they're kind of emotionally unavailable. They're in therapy. They'll figure it out. Like they settle for those things. But if that is something that is so key, and again, getting back to those values, if that's a value for you, that is something where it's like, you need to really sit into your worth and know, if they're not there yet, that's okay. That's their journey. But this is what I want. And I know I'm deserving of it. So I'm going to wait until I find that person that does, that is able to meet me there.
Previously, you mentioned the word neuroscience. I think this is a really interesting counter to the kind of the woo-woo reputation that manifestation has. In terms of neuroscience, science, what is the neuroscience of manifesting?
So we started touching on it a little bit before, but that blueprint that is formed in those formative years, right? Like that, you can think of them, we had an incredible guest on who gave the analogy of like a ski slope. And so you have all of these neural pathways that connect up associations with each other in the brain. And so if you learned, let's say your mom got really judgmental whenever someone in your neighborhood bought a new fancy car. Oh my God, I can't believe Susan got that car, like so ostentatious, blah, 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 had all these judgments. You start to connect, okay, that car means mom has a judgment against it. She doesn't seem super friendly about it. And I want mom's love and attention. So I'm going to associate those fancy cars with something that is not going to bring me what I want, which is love and attention from mom. So that sits in your subconscious. So then as a means of perhaps fitting in life over the years, you start judging people for a fancy car. And then you have the opportunity where you sit there and you're like, actually, it's not really about the fancy car. I want a car that feels luxurious and safe and drives smoothly and, you know, all these things. And then you hit that roadblock where you're like, huh, my authentic self really wants this luxurious car, but I have all this programming that like, I'm going to be a bad person and might even get rejected for it. So in your brain, you have this loop that's associating this car with judgment and shame. And it's like a ski slope that you've ridden over time and time and time and time again. And then when you decide to make that path, when you're unblocking and going in and feeling all your emotions around it and starting to rewire the pathway, it's like carving a new ski slope. So now you kind of go over it once, maybe in a journal exercise, and then maybe you do a deep imagining and you're starting this new ski slope that's like, okay, having a nice car doesn't mean there's something bad with me. It's just a car. It doesn't mean anything. If I can afford it, great. More power to me. Amazing. You know, there doesn't have to be the charge against it. And it feels good for me to have it. So you start carving that pathway. And then you might be faced with tests in your real life or opportunities to maybe purchase the car, maybe, you know, that opportunity to settle for an old, cheaper car is out there. And you're like, oh, God, I have the decision to make between these two ski slopes. You want to get to the place where you have run enough, ski trails down the new pathway that becomes the automatic. The more open, abundant, accepting, thoughtful, compassionate neural pathway is now strengthened. And so basically what we're doing in the brain, and this is a very materialistic example, but you can kind of get the hint of you are moving from that one association with your outside world to a new association. And so over time, especially with doing it in the hypnotic audios with theta waves that drop you into a really deep meditative state, it can super speed that process. So a lot of people use affirmations, which are fantastic, but affirmations are again in the conscious. We're not getting deep into the subconscious brain. And when we're able to get in there through that deeply meditative state, we're able to start connecting up what's happening in the brain much, much faster, and then start making that the default pathway that we go to when we see that fancy car.
Can you think of, because I think that's a great example, but as you mentioned, it's quite a material example. Can you think of an example that's like non-material or that might be around a limiting belief?
Okay, I'll use one from my personal life that I've worked through. So I had a limiting belief that it wasn't, that basically all marriages would fail and the other person would cheat. That's what happened with my parents, and it was a very scary and sad and traumatic experience. And so in my mind, to protect myself, I was like, okay, let's just accept this as the default. This is what happens. And if I just accept that as fact and the truth, then I'll never be disappointed because I always know that will be coming. Well, eventually in my life and relationships, I wanted to have a trusting relationship. And if that's my default belief that this person is eventually going to cheat and leave me, then I'm not really going to have the deep relationship that I'm hoping for. And I'm certainly not going to have someone who's going to be loyal. And that belief system started with me choosing partners that weren't loyal because I was subconsciously looking for, I was subconsciously looking for someone who had the qualities to fit the belief system that I had. Right. And until I could make it conscious, be like, oh my gosh, like this is what's down there. Even though I want a faithful, incredible, longstanding relationship, subconsciously, I held onto this belief tightly because I thought it was going to keep me safe. And so what I wound up doing is going in and finding TBM, and I went into all of the reprogramming exercise and I said, okay, what are all the things that my sort of alert system goes off that says, this isn't safe. This is going to go there. Let's face that worst case scenario in a deep imagining. Like, okay, so what? Let's say this did happen. Then what? Would I be okay? Would I live? Would I move on? You know, everything would actually be okay. And I can sit with my inner child who went through that experience with my parents and say, oh, okay, that was really painful, but I'm also an adult that's functioning and fine. And it wasn't the end of the world. And so I actually don't need this belief anymore. I don't need to hold on to it anymore. And so then I would go into relationships and I'd say, okay, let's try this relationship, even though it feels very uncomfortable, and have trust and start to flex that new neural pathway, start to flex that new belief that I can trust. And even if God forbid something happened, I'd be okay. And I don't need to assume that that is the only way forward in relationship. I can actually assume that I can have a loving, long-term, trusting relationship. And so over time and changing that neural architecture, I start choosing partners that are trusting and I start getting met with that behavior back and I start trusting more. And then now it's been like 5-6 years and I haven't had any sort of fear response or alarm system response around trust. So over time, it's like you chip away, chip away, chip away. And now the default belief system is, oh yeah, of course you can have a trusting relationship. There's no doubt in my mind because I've had one. And so it's like, it's a little more nuanced, but you kind of get the idea that you're operating. Yeah. You're operating from that for so long. And then as you chip away and it's really moving into this sense of safety that you can even have this new belief, once you feel safe enough to have the new belief, boom, that's automatic. And that reflects in your reality.
Thank you for sharing that example. It's such a good example.
Good. Okay, good.
I do want to talk a little bit about skepticism and critiques of manifestation. One pretty common criticism is that if everyone in the world manifests their desires, the world wouldn't operate. No one would want to be a cleaner or a prison guard. We'd have a lot of best-selling authors, no one to collect the bins. How does this criticism sit alongside your experience and knowledge of manifesting?
Okay. So you're saying like, if everyone manifested the dreamiest job in the world, then who would do other things in the world? So what's interesting is I have found that everyone is a lot more unique than we might assume. And we assume that like the high glossy, fancy jobs or things in the world is what everybody wants. But when we get down to our truly authentic selves, like what brings us joy, not what brings us societal praise or, connection or whatever we want from that angle. But if we're really getting down to, and it's not just the task of the job, but how does that function with the rest of my life, right? Like maybe someone really wants a job where they can clock in, clock out. They don't have to think about it again and they can go home and they have a really, really vibrant home life. They have a really vibrant social life and they just like having purpose during the day. Like that might be someone's authentic path. I think we're a lot more unique than we assume or give ourselves credit for. The other thing is, I would imagine if everyone was on their fully authentic path, that if there were jobs that felt like, okay, there doesn't seem to be a lot of people who want to fill these jobs or roles, there would be someone else who might be an innovator and come up with a different way to solve for getting that problem taken care of instead of the people who don't want to do those roles. So I really believe that if we really got truly authentic and honest with ourselves about what brings us joy, what lights us up, and not just what we're doing at work or a job, but how that functions with the rest of our whole life as a human being and what that serves us and gives to us, we would actually find that there wasn't as much competition for these concentrated things, but we all had our own unique place in there.
I like that.
Yeah.
Science, whether it's neuroscience, whether it's scientific approaches to the study of things, is often used as a way of kind of disproving or proving things. But it's not the only method of critique. You can also look at sort of social structures and institutions. There are barriers that some people experience and equally advantages that others experience. I'm a white woman getting very excited about manifesting. The layer of privilege that sits within that is not lost on me. What's your view on that?
I think it's kind of like a both and. I kind of see the world as a lot of, it's almost like the understanding that there is going to be pain, suffering, and injustice in the world. Like that is a fact of being human. It's what we've seen, right? Like in our experience, there's a lot of beautifulness and there's also a lot of ugliness. And that dichotomy exists. And to say that it doesn't is not really understanding the human experience. But if you can take some control, some autonomy, some action towards your own volition, your own potential, your own authenticity, your own magnetism, you can start moving in an opposite direction despite what other limitations have been pushed upon groups of being oppressed or injustice or systemic or systematic issues. Like all of those things, I think it's really important to acknowledge and understand those barriers. And at the same time, if there is something to do to help lift out of that with community, with therapy, with fighting those injustices in the world, why not do them too? You know, it's, yeah, that's where it's like the therapy term of both and. It's like, yes, we can acknowledge, and there is still the option, like manifestation doesn't, you know, at least how I see it, I don't see the universe as a judgmental person saying that person can manifest and that person can't. I see everybody as equally capable and able to manifest. And we also want to acknowledge what's happening in the world and the dynamics at play.
I think that's a good answer. And I ask that question because I don't know the answer, you know. It makes me think of, I interviewed someone recently who mentioned that I think they had been interviewing a group of former prisoners that had come out of prison, and a lot of them loved Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, which is a book, I mean, it's very different from Manifesting, but it's a book that is a lot about individual empowerment and positivity, and all of these kinds of things. And I think I see some similarities there between, there are these institutional structures and barriers, but there are also things that mightn't change those things, but give an individual hope and give an individual agency. And I think that there's a lot of positive in that.
100%. And I think too, you know, I don't know, I think also a lot of people have different varying levels of trauma, right? Different varying levels of pain, different varying levels of shame, different walks of life and experiences in this world. And I think to say that, oh, well, I just don't have the mindset or belief that anyone is just stuck in anything, that there is always something to do to like help move through it, to help have resilience on the other side of it. And I think also expanders is so huge in that. Like if you are in a community in which there is sort of an injustice or a barrier going around, where are the other people who have like broken through that, have paved that way? Like they are helping to show you that it is so, so possible for you. And that's why it's important as well to have representation, to have, you know, different people highlighted and publicized. That's why I love social media, because you're not looking for a TV network to do it or a radio show to do it. You can just go online and look up people. You know, that's why it's so important to especially find expanders that you feel like you authentically relate to, that you feel like you identify with, because they're going to help you see how you can break ceilings in whatever space you're in.
I love that. That is the criticism stuff. I did want to talk about another word in the TBM lexicon, and that is pings. I love the idea of pings. What is a ping?
So a ping is essentially a hit of intuition. It's those moments where you have that little nudge, that little thing in your gut, that little whisper in your head that says, go here, try that. Oh, maybe you need to leave this relationship. Maybe you need to leave this job. You should launch your podcast. You know, it's just those little tiny things that pop into your head that you might just think is a random thought. But in fact, it's your guided inner knowing and wisdom that is coming through to help connect you on your authentic path. The more someone is connected to, let's say, their authentic code, their values, who they are, the easier it is to be able to discern and hear these pings. And there's a difference between a ping or your intuition and fear speaking or a compulsion or, oh no, I have to do this to be safe. You know, we're not saying go back down the same low self-worth behavior you were doing before. Ping is going to guide you into something that is empowering. It might be stepping through fear, but it's always towards a higher self-worth version of self.
Hearing about pinks, it reminded me of this particular episode of the Mel Robbins podcast where she talks about the science of synchronicity. And it feels like synchronicity could be a relative mm-hmm. of pings. It's kind of that random stuff that gives you goosebumps mm-hmm. and feels very uplifting in a moment. But she sort of talks about, and this is scientifically based, I don't know what form of science or how, but that you can attract more by simply by paying attention and looking for them. And that feels very mm-hmm. in line with the concept of pings.
It's interesting too, because with pings, it's almost like expanders. The more that you have an open mindset and open ability to just get curious about what those things are, the more you're going to see. And same thing with this idea in expanders. The more that you see people around you who are living lifestyles similar to what you want, the more you're going to find a plethora of them. You're going to keep seeing them. I think there was a concept, I remember reading it from like Tony Robbins. It's like the see red theory. It's like, okay, if I told you spot everyone who's wearing red on the street today as you're walking, you know, through town, you'd probably spot 100 items of clothing with red on them. But how much brown did you see? Well, I don't know. I was just looking for the red. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for the pings, for the expansion, for the opportunities ahead of you, the more of those you're going to continue to see, which will help along your manifestation process too.
I love that. It would be remiss of me not to ask, as we get towards the end of the interview, what is the best thing that you have manifest through TBM? Or the most exciting or the most random?
Well, it's interesting because I could give you like a long list of items, right? Like things for my home and material things that happen in career and my fiance and my dog and, you know, all these beautiful things, my career. But I think the thing that like, I'm just so thankful for every day is like really understanding myself so much better. And it's not something that I even necessarily put on my manifestation list. It became a byproduct of going after all of these things, these external things. I forged this connection with myself, my voice, caring for myself, understanding who I am, understanding my authentic values, like honoring them, taking actions to actually honor them, facing the fears that live down there in my subconscious and in my shadow. Like that connection to self, I think it's the first time, you know, people talk about self-love all the time. I genuinely don't think I really understood what the hell they meant until doing this work. Like now I'm like, oh, that is self-love. That act of nurturing, caring for myself, attuning to myself, checking in with my intuition, like that practice is self-love. And it's a muscle that I'm like building day in, day and day out. And I think that is probably the most valuable and cherished thing I got through this process.
And what does the process look like now on a daily basis?
So like you said in the beginning, we have challenges twice a year where we're kind of guiding members through our How to Manifest protocol, which is breaking down step by step. But then we have it's called the Pathway membership, and you can access like all of our workshops for inner child, shadow, money, love, boundaries, rock bottoms, whatever you're going through, we're going to help support you in the process. But for me, how I like to work through it, if I'm not going through a workshop or I'm not in a challenge, is we have a little section called the daily practice. And it's all of our, like I was talking about, those hypnotic audios, we call them deep imaginings. I will just probably 3 or 4 times a week have a check-in with myself where I'm like, okay, if I look at my manifestation list, I know where I'm going. These are my, you know, it's almost like my goals for the year. Like this is the direction I'm heading. This is my North Star. What is presenting in my daily life that is part of this process that's helping give me clues about what I should do, where I should go, how I can navigate, right? So are there tests and triggers presenting? What is the theme? What is the root? What lesson do I need to learn here that maybe I'm not learning that's going to get me closer? What pings are coming through? What action do I need to take? Where am I settling? you know, do I need to take a self-care day and take off work because I've really been overworking? You know, like, where are those little tweaks that I can make to my day to support myself that is getting me closer and closer and closer to whatever I'm manifesting?
It feels like a very conscious way of living.
Yeah. I think the philosophy of it, I'm like, the more people that are doing it, it's really exciting because then I can talk to them and be like, oh my gosh, I think I just had a really shining carrot test. This is what happened. You know, like, you get to talk in the lingo with someone else. And it's also seeing the world through, there are trials and tribulations and hard moments of life, but to say like, okay, now I have tools to go to when I'm in those hard moments. I have deep imaginings that are strictly for self-soothing because I'm going to need it when I'm in that low point. You know, if you're in a rock bottom, like, go do your worst case scenario deep imagining, because you can just face that fear head on and comfort yourself, you know. And having that, I think, is been invaluable.
We are at the very end, Jessica. I have a series of a couple of quick fire questions. Some may resonate more than others, so you can pass on any question. First one is, what is the best thing you've bought for less than $100 in the last 6 months?
Ooh, this is a good one. Less than $100. I really like this new supplement. It's called Armra. Have you heard of it? They're like, their ads are crazy in the US specifically right now. They're actually a sponsor for the podcast, but this is not at all a plug to them for Expanded. But it's this superfood supplement that helps like tighten the junctures in your gut and lining. And I'm someone who gets very sensitive to food. And I bought that and it's been really helpful.
Good one. Do you have a quote or mantra that resonates with you?
I like to journal to my higher self, you know, especially when I'm doing my To Be Magnetic work. And one of the things I'll kick off with, especially if I'm feeling really scattered and I'm like, oh, I don't know, like, what's fear and what's not, and I'm feeling all over the place, I'll just write, you are safe, loved, and protected. And that kind of grounds me and like, okay, like, I'm good in this moment. I'm safe. I'm loved. I'm protected. We're like, everything else will work itself out.
Do you believe in ghosts? Have you ever seen one or felt one?
Ooh, I have never seen one. I definitely believe in another realm. I don't know the form, the shape, all of that. But I have, I guess, kind of a ghost story. I'll quick. But my grandma had this cuckoo clock, and every night at 5 o'clock it would go off. And her dogs, her one dog when I was younger would go over to the cuckoo clock and bark at it nonstop. And she thought it was like, okay, maybe it's just the clock. Like, I don't know, that's really strange. And then she got another dog, and separately that other dog started barking at that. And she realized that she had something of her mother's hanging like right in the section by where the clock was. And one night when she was yelling at the dogs to hush, she like saw a visual of her mom sitting there. And so now she thinks it was her mom kind of joining her for 5 o'clock dinner, which was like a big theme for them. So I didn't witness this, but this was a family lore that went through.
I love that. What does the first 60 minutes of your day look like?
Chaos. No, just kidding. Well, we have a new puppy. So it's usually the puppy barking to wake us up and come let him out. And I give him a little morning cuddle massage, take him for a walk. We get some sun on our face on the roof because I listen to Andrew Huberman and he says sun on the face is very important early in the morning. And then I like to come down, do like a lemon water, and I'll try to journal. I try to get like some thoughts out, things out, any way I can kind of like clear my mind before the day starts. And, you know, ideally then I would meditate, but right now I'm just jumping directly into work after that.
That's a pretty good morning.
Yeah.
That feels like a nice way to wake up. Final question. Is there a person that has been influential on your life, though you've never met them or maybe just met them like once?
It's a good question. One of my authentic code pillars is innovation. And so anytime I see someone doing something innovative or changing the way a system's done or kind of looks at what's been done before and is like, cool, how can we do it differently? How can we turn it on its head? It's always really fascinating. So Stephen Bartlett, who's the host of Diary of a CEO podcast, I think him and his team have done some incredibly, incredibly innovative things. Really smart. I love how they call all of their social posts experiments. And I love the way that they sort of look at the life of their brand and podcasts and social media. So that's someone who I haven't met, a couple degrees of separation through some friends, but really admire his work. And just, I'm very inspired by the innovation.
Oh, I'm going to check his social media out through that lens.
Yes. Very cool stuff.
You can find show notes for this episode of The Next Step at katherinecollette.com. You can get in touch via that website or via Instagram at katherinecolletteWriter.